Without any further delay, it is our honor to invite our guest speaker for tonight, Hujjatul Islam wal Muslimin, Ustad Sheikh Rad Mard, who will be speaking to us about the basic principles of the Islamic economics. Let's invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله brothers and sisters my heartiest condolences to those on the occasion of the martyrdom of our brothers, sisters, that happened in Shiraz. It was really a sadness occasion. For example, one boy, about 8 years old or 9 years old, he missed his mother, his father, his brother. All of these three from one family. So only remained one boy from this family. It was a sadness occasion. First of all, I thank my brothers, Dr. Ali, Brother Ali, that invite me tonight here. And I am happy to see the faces of our brothers here. My speech tonight is about Islamic economy. So, because it may be some kind of difficult for me for some words in English, so my speech tonight will be mixed one, Farsi and English. In some places I will speak English, and if I could not find a real word for that things that I want to tell you, I will tell it in Farsi. But I will try my best to speak in English. My English is not good, but I will try. Before I enter my discussion, some preferences I should tell before. First is, we have something we can say, economic system. Economic system is a great, for example, you can imagine a great circle that there are a lot of things inside this circle that they are related to each other. Maybe politic, maybe, for example, non-politic, for example, banking, for example, hukuk, or for all these kind of things that they are related to each other, they are inside this circle that they are related to each other. In a wide vision, we have two kind of economic system. One is capitalist and one is socialist. These two kinds. What's the difference, the main differences, what is the main differences between two system? The main system is the difference between two things. One is ownership, malikiyat, and one is freedom. The difference between these two main economic nizam or system is these two things. In the free economics or capitalist, sarmayedari we call it, or free economy, they believe every person is free to choose its way for life. Choosing the job, making, for example, anything, product, produce anything, they can own everything, and they are free. I don't have time to go to the details, only in the... But in the 18th century came another system, we call it socialism, that they believe no one has any freedom and no one has any right to own or to choose anything, to choose his job or when he wants to pray. Why they came to the earth? Because of the difficulties that kind of thinking brought about in the society. After that kind of system, capitalistic system, they faced a lot of problems. Poverty, for example. Some people, they were at the high position in the money, wealth, they had everything, and most of the people, they didn't have, they became more poor. And for example, they had the factories, big factories, but women, children, they should work for those people, and they didn't have any right for anything. More than 16 hours in a day, a child, a little child, a woman, they should work. After that, some economists and some philosophers, they think why the reason for this phenomenon, for this problem, what's the reason for this problem? What caused it? They thought the main reason for this is ownership, because some people, they have the right for owning everything. They gathered everything for themselves and they made other people to work for them. If they didn't have the right, these problems would not happen. They thought that this is the reason. Marx, Engels, and some other philosophers, they thought that this is the main problem. So they bring another system, we call it socialism. In the socialism, no one has the right to own everything, anything, and also no one has the right to own anything. Malikiyat and Azadi. Azadi Iqtisadi ro hasf kardan, and also Malikiyat ro, they omitted the Malikiyat because of these problems that had happened. So in the big view, we have these two systems. About Islam, we respect in Islam freedom, but some limited we have for this freedom and also for ownership, for Malikiyat. We have some limits for this. So Islamic economics is not capitalist, Also other countries, most of the countries at this time, they are between these two extremes. Some are closer to the capitalist, some are closer to the socialism. But we don't have a completely capitalist capitalist system in the world, even in the United States or England or any place. We don't have a complete one. And also we don't have any this extreme in the socialism. Also Islam is between these two. It's not that one, that not that one. The second preference that I want to say, we have two kind of economic. Positive economic and normative economic. We call it اقتصاد دستوری, اقتصاد اثباتی. Positive and normative. Positive economy. Is an economics that describe the phenomenon and anticipate every phenomenon in the اقتصاد. For example, they say if the price of a commodity goes high, the demand for this commodity will goes down. They describe that those things is exist. For example, if you issue the money, if you increase the money in the country, inflation will goes up. Or they say, for example, if you face inflation, if you increase the rate of money, inflation will come down. They describe anything that is exist. Now in the United States, for example, they face inflation. They increase the rate of the investment in the banks. They increase it. They believe if they increase the rate of the banking money, the inflation will come down. That is, we call this positive economy. But also we have normative economy. Or we call it اقتصاد دستوری. For example, here, every day you hear this, for example, from our government. The unemployment should come down, for example, to 10%. The inflation should be at this rate, for example. Or, for example, the prices should be at this level. That is, we say should be or should not be. This is, we call it normative economics. They don't describe the phenomenon that is exist, رابطه علی و معلولی, cause and
effect.
Cause and effect. We don't go to see cause and effect. In the positive economy, always we look for the cause and effect. But in normative economics, we don't say this. we say that should be come down, should be go down up. For example, people should help the poor people. The rich people should give homes, should pay zakat, all, anything. This we call it normative economy. So, what is Islamic economy? Do we have Islamic economics? There is differences between ulama, thinkers, professors, more than 60, 70 years that they are looking for this. In the, for example, Pakistan, India, in the other countries, United States, Iraq, Iran. Some believe that we don't have economic system in Islam. Quran has not come to describe economic system. We don't have this. Some believe that we can extract, we can find an Islamic system through Quran, Sunnah, other things. Like Ayatollah Shahid Sadr, he believes that, and also many of the thinkers, they believe that we have an Islamic economic system, but we should find this system through the sources in Islam that we have. By what mean? By the means of ijtihad. In Islam, we have this, for example, if you buy, for example, something, and if you sell something, this is halal, this is haram. About the homes, if you find a treasury, for example, you should pay this one fifth of this to this. And fall, for example, in Islam, they have some hukm. Riba is haram. If you put all these issues together, or problems from Quran, from Sunnah, and through the means of ijtihad, if you put all this together, you can extract, you can find that one aim, one goal we have in Islam for all this. They are not separated from each other. All of them. For example, you can say the aim of Islamic economics is idalat. The aim of Islamic economy is welfare for the older people. The aim of Islamic economics is not to differ between people. The money be لِكَيْلَا دَوْلَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. Only the money have in the hands of very little people. For example, there is no zulm. For example, if you do riba, if you pay riba or take riba from someone, is zulm. So there is no zulm in Islam. According. What about economics? Economics is a science. We say Islamic economy. Not economics. Economics, what is the economics? Economics is a positive economy that I described for you. That is, it means if you do this, the cause will lead to this. If you If the price goes high, the demand will go down. This is economics. You can experience it. You can go to the laboratory like other things. Unfortunately, ilm in Farsi, Arabic, is different from the ilm or science. The meaning are not the same. The science doesn't mean ilm here. For example, here we say ilm huquq, ilm tarikh. We call tarikh as a science. Ilm nahv, nahv is a science. But it is not a science. The meaning of science differ from the ilm that we call it. So many of the people, many of the, even the buzurgan ulama, they cannot understand this. Science in the West, they say to those positive that they can examine in the laboratory. هر چی که بشود آزمایش کرد. So we want to see whether it is true or false. We want to see this. We go to the, for example, we go to the market. We increase the price of potato. Yesterday it was 10 tuman. We say we can see it. The demand for the potato, when it was 10 tuman, it is 1,000 kilo. The next day, we increase the price of the potato to 20 tuman. We see the many people, they don't buy this. Or even if they buy this potato, they will buy little than before. So we sign it that it is true. We can examine everything. This is economics. This is a science. Like chemistry, like physics, we can take everything to the laboratory and examine this. For example, if you make more hot, it will go up in this size. If something comes down from the up, the speed for these things is like this. We can send everything, we can write the speed. After that, we say this is the speed when something falls down. So, this is the economics, the positive, the science of economy. But we have in Islam this or not? Do we have this in Islam or not? Some tries to say yes, we have this. We can examine, we can look at the behavior of a Muslim in a society of Muslims, what they do. Because the human in the Islamic view is different from the human in the West countries. They act differently from the people that they are not in the Islamic society. So we can find Islamic economics. But some people, they say no. Until now, we don't have any special Islamic society that we can describe, we can examine this fact of economics. This is the second, I don't know how long I have time. So, and you know the definition of economy in Islam or other countries, there are a lot of definitions. Everyone has more than 100 definitions for this اقتصاد, but we can say the knowing and evaluating and choosing some systems that people use for تولید و توزیع کالا و خدمات, for producing and distributing commodities from the limited sources for the consumption for the رفاه جامعه. This is the main. So Islam has many issues. We can find this in the Holy Quran, we can find in the Sunnah, in Ahadith, and through Aql and Ijma. So we can look at this and gather these issues, this Masail, and normative economy. Islam says do this, do not do this. This is halal, this is haram, this is mubah, this is mustahab. So if we gather all of these issues in one places, one mujtahid, not every person, only the mujtahid through the means that mujtahid has, because you can find a lot of differences and between this riwayat. In some riwayat they say poverty is good. A lot of riwaya you see that poverty is good. Some other riwaya they say no, poverty is not good. So every person cannot justify or understand, only mujtahidi. For example, wealth is good or not? Should we go to gain the wealth or not? Some riwayat they say no, wealth is very bad thing, you should not go there. But in some riwayat they say no, you should go and get the wealth. So for these reasons, only mujtahid can go through this riwayat and Quran, and through this method, a special method for ijtihad, they should find the Islamic system. And the first person that I can say has done a lot of effort on this is Shaheed Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir Sadr. He has written Iqtisaduna. You can go there, and I think it has translated in English also. So if you want to become familiar with the Islamic economy, economics, and something, you can refer to his book. It is a very vast issue, Islamic and also Islamic economics. So I prefer, if you have any question, you can ask, and if I know, I will answer you.
So we were just preparing the microphone so that we could move on to the question answer session. So Ustad Radmad, he said that he was willing to take questions. Of course, primarily on the speech, but he also said that if there are questions that are perhaps not about the speech, that those can be asked as well. I don't know, right off the bat, while I give the microphone to the Sheikh, I did have one question, if you allow me, really quickly. And that question was this idea that you said so far we haven't had an Islamic system in place which would allow us to study Islamic economics within that system. One of the things that a lot of the students or a lot of the people who live in the Islamic Republic, they ask about Islamic economics. So my question was that you know, the Islamic revolution has only been around for 40, 41, 42, 43 years. So is this one of the reasons why we haven't reached a complete Islamic economics? Because we didn't have an Islamic system up to the Islamic revolution? If you could please, Bismillah.
As I mentioned before, when we want to find a law, qanun, or because every science they pay three aspects. First, hypothesis. Second, examination. And the third, they extract the law, qanun. For example, one of the sciences, one people, they say if the for example, if the, as I told you before, if the price goes up, the demand or the supply will also goes up. If the price goes up, the supply will increase. Many people, they produce that commodity, that the price of that commodity has gone up. This is something that has came into the mind of one person. After this, he should, because we want to see whether it is true or false, we should examine this. They go to the market and increase the price of this commodity, and they see the producer, what will they do? What they do, whether the producer see the price of this commodity has gone up. We look at the commodity, we see many people, they see many benefit if they produce this commodity, and they go and bring the factory or produce this commodity because they see a lot of interest in producing this commodity. This is one way. We have two ways, deductive and inductive. Qiyasi ve istigra. Qiyas and istigra. Two ways. We go to this mashhad, we see, yes, here also they do like this. We go to Qom, we go to Peshawar, we go to London, we go to any places, we see, yes, also they do this. From the Jews, we conclude a call. Sometimes we do this, sometimes we do from the up to the down. In Islamic Republic of Iran, they have done a lot of efforts to find this behavior of the Muslims. But no one can say these people or places here, they are doing their affair according to the Islam. I heard from one of my friends, from the leader of Islam Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, some of the students from Islamic economy, they have gone, they were gone to him, and Ayatollah Khamenei asked them, you examine something that some law of economics that you believe this in one places that the people of that places are Muslims. Because in Islamic economics, we should examine the things that we say Islamic a Muslim is not going for the interest for himself. In the West, every person, they are looking for their own interest. It does not matter for them. Other people will become poor. It is not important for them. Only they want themselves. Everyone in the West, he is concerned about himself, not for others. But in Islamic economics, we say that the people, they are not, the interest of himself is not, self-interest is not good. They are looking, but can we examine this in a society, in Iran or not? Because of this, we don't have until now Islamic economics.
So, Aghaya, please, Bismillah, with your question.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah, it was a very good informative speech and very important subject, you know, economic. As far as Islamic economics is concerned, as you mentioned also that Sayyid Baqir Sadr, he has done too much work on it, and it is international levelly, you know, it's been appreciated as well. So I personally wanted to study, but I couldn't study his economics. Can you highlight some important points from his research, you know, about the economic principles, which can help the country, maybe Islamic Republic can be, take advantage of this, his principles, you know?
Some of his main debates and conclusion that he asked, I mentioned this. For example, the ownership of Islam, that what Islam for example, freedom of economy. What kind of freedom? He mentioned this a lot of pages you read. He proven that in Islam there is freedom. It is not a socialist. But also the freedom that we have in Islamic economy is different from, for example, in the West economy, in the capitalistic economy, you can produce anything you want. But in Islam, you cannot produce wine, for example. You cannot do qumar game, gamble. You cannot do. If you gain money from this gambling, is not true for you, is not halal. Some of this, his book is about this, and some is about the ownership, malikiyat, in the West countries, in capitalistic economics, there is a malikiyat khususi, individual ownership. Everyone, every individual has the right to own everything. In capitalist, in the socialistic economy, they don't have any ownership, even their land, even their clothes, even their nothing. They don't have. They cannot choose any job. In Islam, you have this freedom, but we have limitation in some kind of, for example, jobs or money. You can own money, go gain money, but not through riba, for example. You cannot get interest from the money. And after that, he discussed about how can find Islamic economy. That I mentioned. We should go and collect the Islamic issue, the view of Islam about the money, about the mu'amilat, about the things, and after that we can conclude the Islamic economy. And also he mentioned about the Islamic banking. Also Islamic banking he mentioned this.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam. So we did send one microphone to the sisters' side. So inshallah, if the sisters have one question that they would like to put forward, we are at your service with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Man ye sawali dashtam ke اگه مقدور هست جواب بدین و این بود که ما میدونیم که وقتی یه سرمایه گذاری میکنیم در بانک یه مقدار پولی به عنوان سود به ما تعلق میگیره و یه مقدار پولی به عنوان سود به ما تعلق میگیره که مراجع نظرشون درباره این سود متفاوته. مثلا بعضی ها میگن که این سود حلاله و میتونیم از استفاده کنیم و بعضی ها میگن که خیر حرامه و استفادهش مجاز نیست. ما به عنوان ساکن کشور جمهوری اسلامی و اینکه توی کشور اسلامی زندگی میکنیم تکلیف ما در برابر این سودی که ما تعلق میگیره چیست؟
So the question of the sister is related to the banking system and the interest that is incurred in a lot of banks, and so she was asking what is the ruling upon this, because we find that there are rulings that are against this interest which has been given by the banks, and on the other hand there are also rulings in which they say that it is not a problem. So she said for us who live in the Islamic Republic, what is the taklif, is it correct, is it not correct?
خدمت شما عرض شود که من باز فارسی جواب میدم که شما بعداً خواستید به انگلیسی ترجمه بکنید. پولی که شما توی بانک میگذارید، توی حساب سپرده و سرمایه گذاری اونجا میگذارید، در حقیقت شما به بانک وکالت میدید که بانک از طرف شما با پولتون سرمایه گذاری بکنه و یا تجارت بکنه و یا کاری که سود داره برای شما انجام بده. چون شما 10 میلیون تومان داری، 10 میلیون رو که نمیتونی بری توی بازار یه چیزی بخری بفروشی، 10 میلیون بری ملک بخری، با این 10 میلیون هیچ کاری شما نمیتونی انجام بدی. 10 میلیون رو شما میذاری توی بانک، 100 نفر دیگه هم میذارن، یه پول بزرگی جمع میشه، بانک میره با این پول شما یک فعالیتی را انجام میده. چه فعالیتی؟ فعالیتی که شما به بانک وکالت دادید برای شما این کار انجام بده. بانک میاد چه کار میکنه؟ بانک میاد این پول شما رو، یک نفری نیاز داره که بره یک خونه بخره، پول نداره، بانک میاد خونه رو میخره، به اون فردی که نیاز داره میفروشه به صورت قسطی. پول شما 10 میلیون تومان، اون پول دیگه هم 10 میلیون، اون هم 10 شد 1 میلیارد. 1 میلیارد رو بانک میره به یک نفری که میخواد خونه بخره، میگه 1 میلیارد خونه تو من میدم، من شریک. بانک میاد شریک میشه برای خرید یک خونه. فرض کنید قیمت خرید 2 میلیارده، بانک میگه 1 میلیاردش رو من میدم، 1 میلیاردش هم مال خودت، بریم با هم دیگه خونه رو بخریم. سند خونه هم که شما نگاه بکنید توی بانک، میبینید سند خونه هم به نام بانک هم به نام شما که رفتید خونه رو خریدید. لذا شما تنهایی حق فروش هم ندارید تا زمانی که پول بانک رو بدید. بانک 50% اینو مالک شده. این 50% رو به خود شما میفروشه، میگه 5 ساله، 10 ساله این 1 میلیاردی که من گذاشتم، 1 میلیارد و 200 میلیون توی 5 سال شما به من بده، هر ماهی اینقدر. این یک معامله نقد و نسیه به عنوان مثال انجام داده، بانک 200 میلیون تومان گیرش آمده. از این 200 میلیون تومانی که گیرش آمده، خب 1 میلیونش مال شما بوده، یه میلیونش مال اون آقا بود از یه میلیارد سرمایه گذاری، به اندازه سودی که شما توی اون یک میلیون تومن، ده میلیون تومنی که گذاشتید به اون مقدار به شما میده. حق خودش هم که اومده این چنین فعالیتی رو انجام داده، قراردادی رو بسته، بعدن پول شما رو میخواد به شما برگردونه، تضمین بکنه، برای خودش برمیداره. از نظر همه مراجع اگر این کار انجام بشود که بر اساس عقود اسلامی بانک ها معامله را انجام بدهند، از نظر تمام مراجع این درست. بعضی از مراجع میگن این درست نیست. چرا؟ چون شما که رفتی وام بگیری نمیری نگاه کنی بابا این 50% بانک مالک شد، بعد بانک این رو به من فروخت. شما میری فقط کاغذها رو امضا میکنی، اونا رو نمیخونید که ببینید واقعا چه کاری انجام شده، چطور شد بانک 20% من پول گذاشتم، بانک 20% به من سود میده. شما که نمیرید قراردادها رو بخونید، مراجع میگن چون شما نمیخونید، نمیفهمید دارید چه کاری انجام میدید، اشکال داره. بعضی های دیگه میگن نه، شما که امضا کردید به معنای اطمینان شما از اینه که این قرارداد بر اساس عقود اسلامی این معامله انجام شده، بنابراین سود گرفتن از بانک و سود دادن به بانک بر اساس عقود اسلامی هیچ اشکالی ندارد.
خب صلوا علی محمد و علی محمد. اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد وعجل فرجهم. جزاك الله خير آغا. So I'm not going to translate the whole thing because it was quite long, but according to the conditions that Ustad Radmad spoke about, it is correct and it is halal. Of course, the one condition he said that where the maraji say that it is not correct, it is primarily because people do not read the terms and conditions of the contract, and so therefore they're signing something that they don't know, and in that situation is where the ishkal does come up. But he says that no, in the Islamic Republic it is okay to put your money in the bank and receive a haqq zahma, for example. We have one question from the gents. Please go ahead.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My question is, how can we prove to the world that the Islamic economic system is superior to the capitalist system and the socialist system?
Yes, in socialist system we see many problems they face. So you see in the at the end of 19th century they went out, they could not remain, they could not stand in the world because of their problem that faced. About 80 years they could go ahead and they could remain, but after that now we don't have a socialist, completely, as I told, extreme socialistic system, because no one, no human, no one, when you feel that you work for the others, you don't have any angize, any motivation to work more. True? In the socialistic system, no one work for himself. They work for the government, and government pay them every month something. So they saw this, and they examined this, they could not. In the capitalistic system also, we see they now, they are so many people's injustice we see in this system, the poverty. Some very like, for example, the fingers of a hand, 10%, they own 90% of the wealth of the world. Okay? imperialistic system. They gain the money from Pakistan, from India, from Iran, from every country in the Africa, all of the countries of Africa. They stole everything from every country for themselves. This is the system of thinking in capitalistic system, economic system. Also now, we see very few people, they own, for example, 10% of people in that countries, they own like 90% of the wealth in their country and in other countries. This is the most important problem. At the moment, also they steal all the countries. For example, stealing the mind of the developing countries. Now, every wealth they produce in their country because of stealing these people from the every country they steal nowadays also. And they produce wealth and they own this wealth. It may be 1% of a wealth that 1% in that country is. They produce only 1% of his right they gave him. This is not right in economic. So the main, you can answer anyone who asks this. You say we have faced many, many, many problems in the West thinking, in capitalistic thinking, that if we, in the Islamic economy, we cannot face these problems. Sorry. And also some other answers.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So I think because we've already had four questions, but we have done the question and answer for about, well, over 30 minutes now, and it's not easy to do question and answers for 30 minutes, but jazakallah. I want to take one more question. We were going to offer another chance to the sisters, but I think they declined. If anybody has a question, either, well, there's a youth in the front, if we can give him a mic with the hat. Over here, right in the front.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is that why the majority of Maharaj is saying that cryptocurrency is not permissible in Islam? What is the problem with these digital currencies?
Unfortunately, I don't know who allow this, who does not allow this, but because it is a new subject, so maybe many. And also I heard that some Maharaja that they didn't allow before, but now they allow this. And I don't know who doesn't allow, who allows this, but they are discussing it is a new subject. According to your marja, you can refer to him and do as your marja says.